the hearts of the people would be filled with fear as they looked ahead to the things coming upon the earth. But the Bible also reveals the silver lining to the present dark clouds of trouble, and it will be our pleasure from week to week to bring you assurances from the Bible that the world's hopes for the future are as bright as the promises of God. In addition to the distressing events in Hungary, Israel and Egypt have dominated the news during the past 2 weeks, the situation there being now somewhat eased by the acceptance of the ceasefire demand of the United Nations. One of the most startling news events of all time came out of Egypt more than 3,000 years ago. It was the exodus of the Jewish people from Egypt, where they had been enslaved by the Egyptians. God had raised up Moses to be their leader and lawgiver, and he led them through the Red Sea to safety from the pursuing Egyptian army, which was destroyed in the sea. Having passed safely through the sea, the waters of which were temporarily turned back by a strong east wind, the Hebrew people found themselves in what the Bible calls a wilderness. It is now the Sinai Desert. Again last week, grave and world-shaking news came out of Egypt and the wilderness. It was not the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt, but an attack upon Egypt by Israel. From the Israeli point of view, this military assault against Egypt was justified because, as was claimed, Egypt and the Arab countries surrounding the little state of Israel were attempting to enslave and destroy this struggling new nation by economic boycott and eventually a full-scale military attack. From this standpoint, it might be said that again, the Hebrew people were attempting to free themselves from Egyptian bondage. From the standpoint of Bible prophecy, we should expect Israel to be in the news. One of the prophecies reads, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall be no more said, The Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land which I gave to their fathers." We have already witnessed a partial fulfillment of this prophecy. Out of the welter of two global wars, at least a part of the original promised land became available for settlement by the Jewish people. Persecutions in Europe, threatening annihilation, forced hundreds of thousands of them to seek refuge in their own land. It was not, in the majority of cases, a willing migration, but forced. The Lord foretold that he would send hunters among them to accomplish this purpose. Another prophecy descriptive of the experiences of the Israelites when God's due time came to restore them to the promised land represents them as saying, "We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace." How vividly this language portrays the position and outlook of the Israelites throughout all the years of their returning to the promised land. Constantly surrounded by enemies and uncertain as to how much they could depend upon their friends, it has been a time of continual anxiety and fear, a fear which prompted them to seek security by a military attack on their enemies. In another prophecy relating to the latter-day experiences of the Israelites, the Lord declared to them, "I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." Many of the prophecies of the Bible cannot be understood in detail until they are, in a large measure, fulfilled. It is apparent, however, that we are seeing the prophecies pertaining to Israel's return to the promised land now in course of fulfillment. The fact that this return is taking place under trying circumstances, causing anxiety and fear and much suffering, is fully in harmony with the prophetic picture. The ultimate objective, according to the prophecies, is that the Israelites might be, as the Lord states, brought into the bond of the covenant. This clearly seems to be a reference to the new covenant promised in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, which reads, "Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. This is a promise that will be fulfilled on behalf of Israel and the whole world during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That God's law will be written in the hearts of the people indicates the eradication of selfishness as a motive for human behavior. Only divine power can accomplish this, just as divine power alone can fulfill all the other wonderful kingdom promises of the Bible, which assure us that sickness and death will also be destroyed. The fact that we see the prophecies of the Bible pertaining to the Israelites already in course of fulfillment gives us every reason to believe that Christ's kingdom is very near. The most wonderful news ever to come out of this crossroads of the world was the announcement of the angels that Christ, the promised King of Earth, was born. 33.5 years later, an angel announced to the women at the tomb that Christ had been raised from the dead. And now again, in the not-too-distant future, out of Palestine, there will be flashed around the world the news that the resurrected Christ has established his kingdom of peace, that government under which the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks and will learn and practice war no more. I will be with you again at the same time next week.
Thank you, Frank. Friends, you are invited to send for a free copy of the current issue of the Dawn magazine. There is no obligation. Here are some of the questions you will find answered in the November number. How can we know the difference between superstition and the true religion of Christianity? Is there hope for those who have died in unbelief? Will we know each other in the resurrection? How can we be sure that the earth will never be destroyed, but will be man's eternal home? These and many other questions are answered in the November Dawn, the magazine of hope for our time. You will enjoy every one of its truth-revealing, faith-strengthening pages. It is published monthly. The subscription price is only $1, but send for a free copy of the November issue. There is no obligation whatever. Address your request to Frank, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. I will repeat that address. It is Frank, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for a free copy of the Dawn magazine. It will be sent to you without obligation. This transcription was brought to you by the Dawn magazine. We will be with you again at the same time next week. Tell your friends, won't you please? And may God bless you all.
This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.